This is Propulsion, the podcast where we dive deep into the nitty-gritty of taking your business and your practice to the next level. Whether you are an entrepreneur, a franchisee, or a financial planning pro, you are in the right place. We're talking the latest tech, best practices, and expert insights, all while keeping it real and entertaining. So grab a coffee, sit back, and let's get ready to blast off. I'm your host, Francois de Toey. Good morning, Mark. Warm welcome to Propulsion Live.
Thanks, Francois. Thanks so much for having me. And how's it to everybody who's tuned in?
Fantastic. Really looking forward to our conversation. Mark, you and I have met a couple of times before and have some conversations. And I thought just to myself, like, you know, this is so interesting. I love it when people are doing things differently, but not just for the sake of being different. It's a philosophy. It's something that you believe in. So really looking forward to delve a little bit deeper into what that is for you and sort of how you go about it. But also you're doing it from outside of South Africa, which is also, you know, you have to use technology a lot. So I also want to get into that conversation. So really excited for that. So thank you very much for your time. I want to start off just briefly, maybe just first, you know, I mean, your journey to get to where you are. I just learned just before the show that you also hail from the West Rand initially. You grew up there. I didn't know that about you. I didn't grow up there, but I lived there for a long time. And it's funny how you always learn these things. But just give us a very, very brief, quick overview of your journey, you know, into this thing called lifestyle financial planning. And then, you know, what got you to choose the niche that you did?
Thanks, Francois. Yeah, they say good people come from the West Rand, right? So you and I are in good company. So I think the journey into lifestyle financial planning, I started in 2010, and I went through an evolution. I think looking back, you know, Brian Foster has this thing called the evolution of the financial planner, which I would say started from 2010 as a salesman. You know, I went through the training schools that were on offer then, and I made the evolution across from selling policies to shortfall analysis in order to sell policies, and then sort of gathering assets, charging AUM. And I think in 2018 was when I made the shift into actually delivering lifestyle financial planning. And the reason for that was that the old way wasn't really suiting me anymore. And I'm quite honest that it was about me in the beginning, and it was the how much I was enjoying the work that I was doing at the time. So by all means, it had the ability to make lots of money, but the work wasn't great. It was 2018. Investment markets had been flat for about 3 years, which meant, you know, I was having not so great conversations with clients, because what they had been used to wasn't happening anymore, and I'd kind of sold them the dream that I have the ability to control that, which I didn't, right? In hindsight, I didn't do that, but it was what we knew at the time. So, you know, I think I did what I knew at the time, and we kind of made the change from commission to AUM. That was the right thing, but it wasn't a great time. You know, when markets were good, you didn't hear from clients because they thought you were doing your job, and when markets were bad, you heard a lot from clients and you didn't hear very nice things. But also your income fluctuated a lot. So you earned more when markets were good, and you earned less when markets weren't good. And those were things that you can't control. So 2018, I kind of looked around and I enrolled in some programs. Brian Foster was instrumental in my evolution and my change. You know, I saw a webinar that he did with Alan Gray, and it sort of sparked some stuff. And I tried to, you know, go cheap and do it on my own initially, which I couldn't. And I called up Brian and did some work. We did a lot of work together into this evolution, so understanding the business. And I think moving from like an AUM to a full lifestyle financial planning business and everything that entails, because for me, it's all encompassing. there's a lot that goes with that. You need to develop a value proposition. You need to segment your clients. You need to develop how you want to charge for it. And then you need to go and take that to existing clients. And I think that's kind of where the niche comes into play. And it was kind of initially after doing the work with Brian, I wanted to be all things to everybody. So I wanted to just take my existing client base and we segmented it down. I remember it went from like 270 clients down to 150. And then I wanted to take these 150 clients and make them fit into the service level agreements that I developed. And on the face of it, that sounded great because, you know, if I did the numbers, 150 clients paying me those fees, everything worked out. But not everybody wanted what I was doing and what I wanted, the type of work that I wanted to do with people, it didn't fit everybody. Right? So then it kind of didn't work out. We had another roadblock there. So then we had to identify who's it for. Right? So who wants what I do and who sees value in it? And I think that's where the niche of female executives in financial services came about. It's looking at the people that take your advice, that you enjoy working with, that enjoy working with you, and that you can have an impact on their life. And that just happened to be those people. So formulated it around that and then targeted all the messaging and my outward communication to speak to those people. And now more recently, it's kind of evolved into female executives in financial services, but also founders in the mid to early stages of their entrepreneurship journey. And that's sort of come about through my relationship with DoshGuard and the work that they do. But we can chat more about that.
Yeah, fantastic. And it's really an interesting comment. I don't know if people caught that, as part of your story there is, you know, not everybody was looking for what it is that you were offering. And the big part that I want to commend you on is the fact that you stuck to, but this is what speaks to you. This is what's important to you. This is how you want to do things. Let's go find the people who want the same thing. Instead of saying, oh, hell, this is not working. Let's just call it a day. Let's go back to the traditional way of doing things. And I think that's sometimes where, when we make changes in our businesses, we don't see immediate results or we don't see the results that we think we're going to get. Then we go like, oh, this isn't working. When in fact, there's more work to be done to get it to work. So really fantastic to hear that from you. I do just want to stand still a little bit around lifestyle financial planning. For me, lifestyle financial planning is sort of a philosophy in my mind, but I'm really keen what is lifestyle financial planning? What is your definition basically for lifestyle financial planning? And what do you believe is the one thing that distinguishes it from just financial planning or financial advice for that sake?
So I think when I tell clients what it is that I do, what is my role? You know, my role is really to help you live an amazing life with the resources that you have available now and into the future. And it's not about your money and getting you a specific investment return and making sure that your money grows and you know, acquiring more. It's about understanding how much is enough. How much is enough to live the life that you want. And I think the emphasis really is just putting it on the client. It's saying, what does a life well-lived look like to you? And how do we help you achieve that? That is at the core. That is at the essence of everything that we do. If we're not doing that, then why are we working together? I want to work with people who want to live a better life, who are prepared to do the work. And I think that's what lifestyle financial planning is. It's also, it's helping people connect with what that life looks like. And you said something about my journey earlier and sticking to my guns about the work that I want to do and who I want to do it with. And I think it goes hand in hand, because the reason I was able to do that is because I identified what I want my life to look like. So I took myself through a journey of lifestyle financial planning in 2018 for the first time. You know, after being a financial planner for 8 years, I did my own financial plan properly. And having that end goal in mind that you can really connect with really helps you make the tough decisions on a day-to-day basis. So if you know what the end looks like, it helps you stick to the tough decisions that you have to make daily. And I think that's, you know, what lifestyle financial planning to me is about. It's about living an amazing life. And I look at clients and we've all got the opportunity to do that. And financial planners, right? We all have the opportunity to build amazing businesses and live amazing lives if you're prepared to do the work. And that's what's also so difficult. And not everybody wants lifestyle financial planning. Some people just want more. They just want you to manage your money, their money. And it's that's fun, right? There's loads of people that want to do that. I am just not one of those people. And that I think that's fair. And I'm happy to tell people that if that's what you want, then I'm not the right guy for you. I'm about helping you understand what enough looks like and then making sure we get there. If you want more, you know, I can recommend a whole bunch of people that can help you with that.
Yeah. And I think that is important, right? It is about there's horses for courses, I guess, is a way to state or to say that. But it is, you know, ultimately, it's about being very clear on who you work with, who you don't work with, what you do, what you don't do, and not being afraid to attract those people or for people then not to contact you. Because I find this often, Mark, where and I always use my opportunity to throw in a stone in the bush or plant a seed or do things like that when I speak to groups. And you can often find that, you know, almost advisors that's been around for a very, very long time, because we were brought up and taught that, you know, you help everybody, give everybody a great service. And because you never know when they are going to come into money, or you never know when they're going to refer someone to you. You never know what job they take or what business they're like. You never know. And that's perfectly fine. It's always worked like that. But it does mean that you try and be that person that you try to be everything to everyone. You know, you want to help everybody versus saying, no, but this is who I help. And then being okay for somebody else. Because anyway, we can only deal with so many clients at a time in any event. The other big question I want to ask you just around lifestyle financial planning before I step off onto some of the other things I want to talk about is, you did mention a little bit about, you know, sort of if you have a clear vision and an end in mind kind of thing. I mean, that's not always easy for somebody to know. Or is it, in fact, that people innately, they know that, you know, ultimately, this is what I want. Ultimately, this is the thing. Or how many of your clients do you need to help get there? And, you know, is that a relatively easy thing to do? Is it a very time-consuming thing to do? What does that process look like?
Yeah, so for some people it's relatively easy, but I think what not everybody knows, like you say, but what people do know is that they don't want anything less than what they currently have. And that's always the starting point for the work that we do. It's identifying where you are now, how you got here, what life was like, what money was like, and what it all means for you now, right? And this becomes the starting point. So many people don't even know what that means. If you can visually show them where you are now and what that means for you into the future, that then creates the opportunity for them to start dreaming, to say, okay, well, if I just keep doing what I'm doing now, where do I get to? If I earn the way I earn, save the way I save, spend the way I spend, and my investments do what they say they're supposed to do, what does that mean for me? And then that point, you know, if people can see that, it's either they've got something in their mind about what retirement looks like or what the future looks like, and then it's going to push against that to say, oh, great, I'm on track, or, geez, actually, this needs to change. But when it comes to like actually sitting with clients, and it's creating that environment for them to dream, you know, like people, you know, get into this world of working and earning and you know, the hedonic treadmill, just getting on and doing more and accumulating more to fund the things that we do. But if you offer them the opportunity to step out and say, well, in a perfect world, how would you design this? What would life look like? How do you want to spend your time? How do you want to spend your days, your weeks, your weekends, your evenings? I think it's offering people the opportunity to think like that. So often we don't, right? I'm not sure how many, you know, even advisors think about that. Purposefully design their days, weeks, you know, months, lives. It's a very thought-provoking thing, I think, and it's a collaborative approach. It doesn't just happen. You don't sit there and say, "Tell me what your goals are," because nobody knows what their goals are. They've got some lines in the sand, things that they want to achieve along the way, and it's a iterative process. You start with things, and you've got to recheck in: are these things still important? How are we tracking? Are we making progress? And And eventually you get to the point where it's like, wow, people see, okay, well, I can do things differently. But again, it's work. And I think that's also quite important, Francis, is that when clients start working with me because of the way that I work, they've gone on some self-exploration already, right? There's some awareness that's been created. Something's happened that they have prioritized this in their life now, because this is not a typical financial planner relationship. It's not sales driven. It's not product driven. It's not implementation driven. It's like, I really want to live a better life. And not to say that I'm living a bad life, but my priorities are shifted. Something has happened. An awareness has been created before we have a conversation. Because if that hasn't happened, then I'm almost selling the ability for you to experience life differently. And if that's not inherent in what you want, then it's back to sales, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something that may be weighing on people who's watching or listening to this on their mind, that might say, but if this is a different process and we first need to help them figure that out, you know, usually my process is a 1, 2, 3 meeting process because we need to get to some point. So obviously, there's a different model that needs to underlie this from a business model point of view. And particularly, I know that you charge a fixed fee, if I've got my information correct. Can you talk us just a little bit through that? I mean, how's that working? You know, whatever you're comfortable in sharing, Mark. But one, how does that work? And two, to that is, I mean, how has that transition been? Where were the challenges in moving to that fixed fee as well?
Yeah, Francois, do you want balance sheet or income statements? I'm happy to share it all. No, I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, we'll just mail them through quickly. So I mean, from a fixed fee point of view, and just you know, sort of how does your charging model work in essence? And you know, what is that conversation like with clients, and what is the uptake of that like? I mean, what has the experience been?
So I think what I'm hearing from you is that it sounds like there's a lot of work involved in this journey, right? In this experience, in this value proposition that you put out. And are you prepared to do that if you're not going to get paid for it? If there's because in typical financial planning world, it's you've got to do all this work and then you've got to implement something in order to get paid. Whether it's, you know, take the assets and put it on your code or sell a policy. Some sort of implementation has to happen. And in my world, the implementation happens when it happens. That's not how I get paid. So I've had to price it correctly. I charge fixed fees, like you mentioned. We have 2 service level agreements and 2 different price points. And I kind of have like a try before you buy experience with clients. So there's 3 meetings where we get to, and at the 3rd meeting, we present our plan. And our understanding of your life and the understanding of what you want life to look like and a roadmap. And we ask clients in that meeting to commit financially to the journey. So we would have had to demonstrate sufficient value. This is in my mind, this is what I'm trying to do in those 3 meetings, is demonstrate sufficient value that clients are happy to pay the RAND value. So that value transfer needs to happen to say, Mark spoke in a good game in the intro call. He's demonstrated enough of it in the discovery in the presentation meeting, and he's outlined what the next 12 months are going to look like and the work that we're going to do. That's what I'm trying to portray, to the point that they can say, yes, I'm happy to pay you 60, 70,000 Rand or, you know, 20, 30,000 Rand, depending on the service level agreement. You know, that is what I'm trying to get across. And if I've done that correctly, people are happy to pay for it. And then, because they're paying for it and I don't need to implement or sell a product, I'm able to sit with them and take them through the process. Time is not an issue then, right? You know, my calendar is booked a month in advance for existing clients. And then for new clients, it's like, here's a link, find a time. We can meet every day if there's a time slot available. We can meet once a week. The cadence doesn't really matter to me. It's, I'll give you all the time you need in order to fulfill this plan that we put forward, right? So value proposition and a planning process are like imperative if you're going to charge fixed fees, because clients need to see value. They need to understand what the journey is going to look like. No one's going to pay you a 60,000 lump sum to go through one financial planning meeting a year. It's not going to happen. It may happen in an AUM world where it's 1% of 6 million, but they don't, there's no friction there. So nobody sees it. And, you know, there's some value up front and then we'll meet once a year. But that's not how we put our proposition forward, I would say. It's really a relationship. And I guess uptake, right? So I've been doing this now for 5 years. I started in 2018, 2019. 2019 was when I really started applying it. And it's been good. It's hard because you have to say no to a lot of people. But it's, you know, you've got to say no to the wrong people in order to say yes to the right people. You go through this experience and you see who's keen and who's not keen, and you've learned, like, you know, I was taking any prospect, potential prospect, through my 3-meeting process and then landing up at the presentation meeting and they would opt out. And that's just a waste of my time. So I've learned to sort of select people along the journey, like look out for things. Are you really interested? Are you really keen? Are you prepared? Are you able to pay? Are you prepared to do the work? Because the work that we do, it's not just me. I'm not just doing, I don't have all the answers. It's a journey. It's a relationship. And I tell this to clients, it's going to take time. It's going to take commitment. And are you prepared to do that? You know, our roadmap outlines exactly who's going to do what, when they're going to do it, and how we're going to hold each other accountable for that. So if you're not up for that relationship, then I'm not the right guy. And this is all relayed in the beginning, in our intro call. Yeah,
I really love it. And I love the passion, Mark. It's I mean, I can see you've bought into this 100%, and that's why it's working as well. You know, I think often we'll go back and say, but the client's really willing to pay that. Can they actually afford that? Can they pay that? But it's also again about finding your people, right? And knowing what you can do and who you can do it for at that point. So that's very important. I want to talk a little bit about the technology you use, because obviously this is something that we touched on at the event. I think Robin asked maybe a little bit about that. But I mean, you've always obviously had to create a lot of efficiency and really enable your business and your practice to be able to do what you do from where you're doing it and all of this good stuff, and making sure that you also create a proper experience, because you can't be charging fixed fees, you know, and people have to pay and then the experience is bad on the other end, because that it will just detract from that. So just talk me a little bit through your tech stuff. You know, what specific things have you done and are you using and have you implemented? You know, whatever comes to mind, just from a tech point of view.
Cool, thanks, François. So my tech setup is simple, right? I've got my laptop, I've got a Logitech camera that plugs in, which was a great investment. I have a little Rode microphone here and a ring light. I sit in the basement in my house, which isn't great for lighting, so we've had to make it work. I think this looks visually okay, but in the practice, you know, in order to deliver this experience, and you know, because clients are paying us fees, you know, we tell them we're going to meet on this date and this month, and we're going to do this, 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 and this. You have to deliver on that. There's, like, in my eyes, they're paying me money for it. There's no way that I can't make that meeting, or I can't, you know, book the meeting with them. Or if they don't book the meeting for me, just to say, okay, well, that's fine, you didn't book the meeting. Like, there's massive accountability that I think needs to be upheld. And how we do that is, so we use Xplan. I know people love it or hate it, but for me, I work with AdviceWorks, and they've really invested in Xplan, and it's a great tool. Like, we've embraced it. We're super users, whatever you want to call it. But Xplan's got massive capability if you learn it and use it. So my calendar is booked 3 months in advance for existing clients. So we send out existing clients, and this happens automatically through Xplan. I don't have to go and do it anymore. we used to, but now it happens. So 3 months in advance, clients get notification via email to book their whatever meeting it is. We've got specific meetings that we have throughout the year. There's a Calendly link that they can go and book it on. So it happens automatically. A month after that, they get a reminder automatically to do it. Everybody gets a reminder whether they're booked or not. We haven't figured that out yet, but they get a reminder. 15 days after that reminder, they get another reminder. And 7 days after that, they get a phone call. So the phone call is the human intervention. And that 7 days takes us just before the meeting month. So everybody who's supposed to have a meeting in May has had 3 opportunities to book that meeting and a phone call, you know, because we have to have the meeting. It's not it's a non-negotiable. You know, we're not, oh, you didn't want to come to your meeting. If I'm going to have the impact that I said I'm going to have in your life, we've got to meet. And this is the cadence, and this is when we're going to do it. So we use Xplan to enable that. And Calendly is huge in that world as well. Obviously, clients book their own meetings. They can choose Teams. They can choose Zoom. We used to have WhatsApp calls. We've scrapped that, and that's because of the experience, right? Some people opt in for a WhatsApp call, but I know just for myself, if I'm on a WhatsApp call, you know, I'm probably looking around over there and chat. If I'm here, I've got to be looking at you. So I show up differently, and I've had to be aware of that. Again, it's because of this, the value transfer. So I need to show up in a way that's of value to clients. Some other tech that we've used, which has been a game changer, is Fathom. It's you know, AI transcription meeting note taking software. And this has really been good. I've been on this AI journey for transcription journey for about almost a year now. And we've tried a whole bunch. Read AI, it's great. It's not 100% accurate. Crisp's got an AI transcription service, also not accurate. Fathom is so good that we've automated that it goes out at the end of every client meeting. I don't need to check it. It's that good. And then we use Zapier as well, and we've been able to integrate the tasks that Fathom picks up. So they pick up action items, next steps, and tasks, and we populate that straight into Airtable, which is our task management software. And it all happens automatically. And it's so accurate that I can finish a meeting now. I can have back-to-back meetings. I don't have to worry. I used to have a bit of decompression time, like 15 minutes, so that I can gather my thoughts, make sure all the notes were done. I don't have to do that anymore. The technology just does it all for me, and it's reliable, which is huge.
Yeah, I just love it. I've never heard of Fathom before, which is when you started talking about this, and this is quite an interesting thing, and this is how we learn all the time, right? What's working? Just one big question, you know, around if you think about all the capability in Xplan, etc. Interesting that you're using Airtable as the task management system. And Airtable is absolutely fantastic. Those of you who don't know it, it's like Excel on super steroids sometimes. It's like a combination between that and data. Anyway, let me not get into that. So the question is, Mark, why do it there and not also in the CRM? Like, what required you to sort of rather go with that approach? Is it just a personal choice?
So Xplan's task management system is incredibly tedious. And we weren't using it. And we weren't using it because it was tedious. Like, I don't like admin, right? So I can identify that I'm the bottleneck in a lot of these things. And so I wasn't using it. Then I'd tell Marcus, create a task. And he also doesn't like admin that much, which doesn't help if he's your right-hand man. But Airtable, and I guess the big thing is Zapier can't integrate with Iris or Xplan at the moment. So I think there's an API, but we're not that far advanced yet in terms of understanding that. And Zapier integrates straight to Airtable. So we don't have to think about it. That's why we use that. As our fail-safe, once a task is complete in Airtable, Marcus does go and upload that task into Xplan. So as the CRM, it does still have all of the tasks that are done. We just don't use it for the tracking part. And that's just because I'm lazy when it comes to that. But it still has to happen. So I've used Airtable to make sure it still happens.
Yeah, fantastic. How do you choose your technologies, Mark? What are the things you consider when you say, we're going to use this, we're not going to use that? you know, or when do you decide, sure, I think I need to look for a piece of technology to do something specific? Like, what is that like for you?
So I touched on those three words, eliminate, automate, delegate. And I think the trigger point in my mind is if this is a repeatable process, I'm like, surely it can be automated. Like if we were doing the same mundane task all the time, like there must be a way to automate that. And then I'll go on a tangent and I try and find things. I also listen to a lot of podcasts of different industries and pick up things there. And webinars, like I'm a serial webinar signer upper, whatever the right word is, but I sign up for everything. It's in my calendar. And if I can make it, I make it while I'm working. If I can't, I get the recording and I try to watch it. So it's like constantly trying to absorb things. And the whole thing that is coming back, or the reason, Francois, that I do all of this stuff is it's because I want to live an amazing life. Like I'm not shy to say that. Like this business is meant to enable me to do that. And I'm very clear on what an amazing life looks like. So I can't be working into the night or on weekends or in my family time. Like that's a no-no. That's a non-negotiable. I'm not going to do that. So if I want to look after the number of clients that I want to look after, I want to earn the amount of money that I want to earn, and I want to have the freedom of time that I want, I need to be efficient. And efficient for me is not bringing more people into the practice. It's using technology in order to enable that efficiency, which enables me to do the things that I want to do when I want to do them.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. I did not notice the time. I see we're out of time, but I do want to ask one big question, Mark. Yes, time flies when you're having great conversations. What has been, maybe just very, very briefly, the things that you've done from a personal development point of view or from a growth point of view for you personally, whether it's in your personal capacity or for you in your business, that you've done that have moved the needle the most for you?
So Francois, this may sound bad being a financial planner, right? But when I left the bank, which was in 2015, I used to contribute to a pension fund. I obviously stopped and I didn't move that money into an RA. And in my mind, what I did is I took that money and I invested in myself. So I upskilled myself. I partnered with Brian Foster. I paid his fees, which were a whack of money at the time, to go on that journey. I signed up to Paul Armson's Inspired Advisors, which was priced in pounds. So that was a whack of money. I worked with Johan Oosthuizen, who is on here and everybody knows, or I think lots of people do. And that was a whack of money for a 12-month sort of process, massive value. I think what I'm saying is I invested in myself and my ability to be better at the work that I want to do. And the latest iteration of that was the Financial Transitionist program, which I did last year and the exams now. And that, again, is priced in dollars. So admittedly, I don't have an RA, right? I don't have that vehicle. Being in Portugal now, in hindsight, not a bad thing, but I've taken that money and invested in myself in order to be better at what I do. And I think I would advise that to other people, right? Just invest in yourself. Don't try and go alone and go cheap. You can only get so far.
I love it. Mark, yes, I wish I can. There's so many more questions I wanted to ask you, but obviously there's a part two in here. But thank you very, very much for your time. Thank you for everything you've shared with us. I really appreciate it. I'm inspired by the work you do, the way you do things, the way you embrace things, the way you think about things. It's just absolutely incredible. So thank you so very much for spending your time with us.
Thank you for having me. I love talking, right? So yeah, thanks, Francois. I appreciate it.
Alrighty, so we made it to the end of the show. Thank you very much for joining us live. Once again, if you liked it, please like the video, share the video, tell others about us. Let's get more people on here and spread all the good stuff that we're doing. And with that, we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Be safe, be blessed, and prosper. Enjoy your weekend, and we will see you next week. Thank you very much. Love you. Bye-bye. All right, folks, that's a wrap for this episode of Propulsion. I hope you got as much out of this as I did. Remember to tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. South African time for our live show, called Propulsion Live. You can find it at www.propulsion.co.za/live. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. If you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, hit that subscribe button or the follow button and share it with your friends, colleagues, and anyone else who you think would get something out of it. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you in the next one.